sometimes I find it very distressing, the contrast between the numbers and the seriousness of people that are either drifting from Yiddishkeit, rebelling at whatever stage in their life it may be, or never were exposed to anything meaningful, and therefore they really don't know what it's all about. The contrast between those massive numbers and the extent to which we as a community are concerned about it. And I find that the gap between the extent of these issues of people just not embracing Yiddishkeit for one reason or another, whether they're running away from it or never were exposed to it, and the limited extent of our concern about it, I find it very, very disturbing. And I think it's I think that if we realized the extent that we should feel this issue and the urgency of the issue, I think it would be a different world we would see out there. You know, it occurs to me, we say Kaddish, it's a very demanding statement. V'yamlich malchusei, we want that Hashem's malchus should be recognized, it should be that they're mamlechim, is everyone, but when? B'chayecho in your life, v'yomecho in your days, v'chayecho in all base Yisrael, ba'agolo uvizman koriv, quickly, and in an immediate time. There's such an urgency, a sense of urgency. Then when we talk about Yehei Shmei Rabo Mevorach, we turn to Hashem, we say, your name should be recognized by everyone as the source of all blessing. Lo'olam ol me'olmayo. Not enough now, forever and ever. We're concerned about the urgency of the present, and we're concerned about the extent and eternity of the future. And yet, we're not that concerned. You know, those, the more concerned people give a krechts. Some people mumble, Achenu kol beis Yisroel, and asunu betzorah v'shivyo. Some people don't even mumble that too much, you know. It's so painful. The Chofetz Chaim writes, and it's an original thought, but there's a letter, I could show you the letter, where he writes, he says that if somebody is drifting away from Yiddishkeit, then you're mevatel, you're oiver, actually, it's a lav, the lav of lo yisamod al dam reacho, if you stand by idly. If there's something you could do about it, and you don't, if there's nothing you can do about it, nothing you can do, you're an onus. But if there's something we could do, it's equivalent to somebody drowning and we don't throw in a life preserver or whatever to try to save him. Why? And he makes a cheshbon. It's very interesting. Cheshbon. Only the Chofetz Chaim could say this. He says, if he's going to drift and not keep mitzvahs, he's going to get sick. Something's going to happen. And his life will be in danger. And therefore, you're able to samar adam reyacho. Because you could have prevented his life from being in danger. Whatever. That's the Chofetz Chaim writes. So, but it's an attitude. It's that there is a sense of responsibility. There is a sense of achrayus. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if we ever thought about it, but we say every day, three times a day, Slach lonu avinu ki chotonu. What's the pshat? Can I do tshuva for you? If vidu is a part of the tshuva, right? And we ask Hashem, ki chotonu, we say ki chotonu. We ask for slicha. What's the pshat? I'm not doing vidui for somebody else. I'm poshut asking Hashem. We have all sinned, and we ask you to forgive everyone. It's a kloliistic thing. Hashiveinu avinu l'seirasecha. We ask you, Hashem, bring us. Who's us? Well, all of us sitting here? Okay, that would be nice. If we were even mechaven that, that would be nice. But it really goes much more. It's the whole Klal Yisrael. We should have that sensitivity, that sense of that we want, we pray, we hope, we look forward. We would do anything we could. If we were billionaires, we would give billions of dollars. Billionaires, we give millions of dollars. No, billionaires, we give billions of dollars in order to try to help Klal Yisrael. And the urgency, the seriousness of it. And what's happened, I think, is that throughout the generations, there have been so many threats to our own Yiddishkeit, to our own Shmiras HaMitzvahs, that we've become very focused on protecting ourselves, you know, and insulating ourselves and guarding ourselves, which is true and appropriate. But the other side of it is there's a greater people out there. There's a whole Klal Yisrael out there. And like, we have to, at least in our tefillos, at least in our heart, at least in our feeling, at least in our emotions, to really feel that, oh, you know, what can we do? And I'm not even talking about the feeling for the Kovod Shamayim, which is also something, but that's already a more sophisticated level, that what a Chilul Hashem it is, that the Am Hashem, the Am HaNivchor, is so, as a group, as a majority, as a massive numbers, so alienated or so estranged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That in itself is such a Chilul Hashem. This is His people, and look. But not even that, but push it on a human level just to feel that sense and to desire. There's a famous story, I don't know if it's not a famous story, but it's a story that they once saw the Altman Slabotka talking to an old man. He wasn't religious. And he spent an hour talking to an old man just like this. So after they asked him, what were you talking about? Were you trying to make him religious? He says, no. Were you trying to get a donation for the yeshiva? Maybe he's a rich man. No. So what were you doing? He says, I was sharing with him my dreams and my plans and my aspirations, my goals for Klal Yisrael. And he was an old man, and hoping that in the conversation he would have a little bit of a feeling that, oi, I wish I could participate in that. Oi, I wish I could help him. Oi, I wish it would happen. And that could be a life changer for his future. This man, before he passes away from the world, would just have such a hargosha that he wishes he too could have a hashpah on Klal Yisrael. He wishes he too could see to it that something positive would happen for the Klal. Who knows what kind of a schus that could be? And his mission then was the altar, was just to give this man the opportunity to have a certain feeling that could be such a schus for him. It's such a schus, just the feeling, just the caring. And I think it's push it. That once we care, and if we feel a feeling, and if it concerns us, we will definitely find ways and means to be able to influence, to be able to help, to be able to. I had a conversation, and I have many conversations like this, and I was speaking to someone, a person, an educator, a person in in a position of influence, and talking about all the problems. And in almost without comment, the conversation went to, look at all the accomplishments. Now, I understand that, and it's very good to look at the accomplishments. And before you get depressed, and who knows what could happen when a person gets depressed, of course you have to look at the accomplishments. But we can't ride on our accomplishments. We can't be satisfied with our accomplishments because it's like, there's so many people out there. There's so many masses of people that are so far and need so much. And I can't just look at, oh, so much good is happening. Okay, let's move on. And that sensitivity has to be there. And I think there's something else that we should also be sensitive to. And this doesn't require even a deep religious sensitivity. We learned in a number of the early psukim in Shir HaShirim that the Jew has a hard time being happy in this world. He can't find, even in the normal means that for others, you know, mishteyayin v'simcha, he talks about over there, that should be a source, you know, have parties and have happiness and have this. And the Jew has it rough. The truth is, the goy has it rough too. You know, I often say that Beverly Hills is the party capital of the world. There's more parties in one night in Beverly Hills than probably the whole state of California in a month or maybe a year. I have no idea. And yet it's one of the most miserable places in the world. The divorce rate is off the charts. The suicide rate is very high. Substance abuse rate is alarming. you know, not only the rates that the mental health professionals charge, but Beverly Hills is the place, to the best of my knowledge, where they first introduced the concept of a canine shrink. That means a dog psychologist. The place is so miserable, you know, because animals, especially dogs, they say, take on the moods of their masters. So they have their canine psychologists, it's the happiest place in the world, the most parties, and yet the most miserable place. And the answer is because that's not what happiness is about. Well, you know something, alachas kama v'kama. Yeah, listen, alachas kama v'kama. When you have Yidden, Klal Yisrael, whose neshama stood by her Sinai. Who some of them have already, those that drift, some of them, those that drifted, have experienced some happiness. They know it exists, and yet they don't have it. And even those that haven't, but they're wandering in the world, and they need some meaning in their life. They need some sense of purpose in their life. And if they don't have it, we should just, on a human level, feel the extent of that pain. And then I think that that everybody has to feel that at least when we daven, at least when we ask Hashivenu and Salach Lonu and Re'eva Onyenu Goleinu Mehero Laman Shemecha, we should really be thinking a little bit beyond ourselves and to the, all the tzoras that go on out there. Because I really think that the situation is very, very serious. We're fooling ourselves by, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, we're fooling ourselves by the extent of the successes, by the size of the moistis, by the numbers of people wherever we go. The shuls are full, the minyanim are full, the dafyomis are full, the elementary schools are full. You got to register in Brooklyn, they say. If you don't register your kid in the school of your choice when he's born, then you probably won't be able to get in. And some people say even when you become pregnant, you know, that you got to get started on the registration process. So it's a serious thing. But we shouldn't let these things fool us. There are serious issues out there. And if we can't do anything directly about them, the least we could do is feel the pain and turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom and ask that these people should be helped. These people should be inspired. These people should be guided. Not to mention how many people are being turned off because of hypocrisy that exists in our communities. And that's also something that's very, very serious. And that in our own lives, we have to be so careful, because the Yetzer Hara is looking for any excuse whatsoever to distance us from Torah and Mitzvahs. And hypocrisy is one of the best excuses. You know that, I must have mentioned it here not too long ago, Yaakov Avinu used that in his tefillah when Esau was approaching, and he had his four wives and his children there, and he said that that if you allow Esav penyovav hikani aim albonim, that they should mamish, you know, if Esav would be able to destroy my wives and my children in the same day, he says, you in your Torah it says oisav es benoy lo yishchatu biyom echod, not allowed to shech the mother and her offspring on the same day. Ha Torah Shato osid litein besinai mi yikrebo. Yaakov Avinu says to Hashem, if you're going to allow this hypocrisy, so to speak, to take place, that Esav is going to be allowed to kill out my wives and my children the same day, then the Torah that you're going to give at Har Sinai, which says osid esbiroi lo yishchatu biyom echod, no one's going to want to read your whole Torah. What's wrong with the rest of it? No, there's one piece of the whole thing. One ounce of hypocrisy, one statement that could be perceived as hypocritical, could have a devastating effect on a person's attitude to the most valuable and most relevant and most sensitive and most truthful and most important directives that exist. So I think we also have to think in terms of that. I know I was shot down with this attitude, with this suggestion. by whoever it was, the powers that be, I guess, at the time, or whatever, what's the proper referral reference to it. But I came up with the idea once, many, many years ago, of a Shabbos once a year. A Shabbos dedicated to Kiruv, but not through Kiruv, just through strengthening the Bein Olam L'Chaveroi in the religious community. That everybody in all the shuls all over the country just talk about our achrayus to refine and improve and uplift our Bein Olam L'Chaveroi as a means of attracting others to Yahadus. And it's a real thing because I used to say that after the Holocaust, throughout history, there used to be the best excuse, albeit an excuse, for not being religious was the suffering of the righteous, right? That kasha of tzaddik veraloi is overwhelming. Of more recent decades, I think the biggest excuse was not the suffering of the righteous, but rather the behavior of the so-called righteous. And that's something that scares people away because they see so. So anyway, these are just some ideas. If there's anything that we could do through our tefillahs, through our actions, through our influence, through any means that we have, I think that there's an urgency. It should be b'chayeichoin uv'yoymeichoin uv'chaye d'chol beis Yisroel ba'agolo uv'izman koriv. Please don't say amen.